1 Samuel chapter 2, as we continue in our series entitled The Calling. Our series, The Calling. 1 Samuel chapter 2. How many were blessed last week from the bread that Pastor Thomas broke? I heard a lot of good stuff about the ABCs. I was in his ear saying, I don't know if they're ready for that, Pastor Thomas. This is the grand. I don't know if they can handle the ABCs, a scripture like that. He said, I'm going to bring it anyways. I heard y'all hooping and hollering on the internet. Heard it! In chapter 2, verse 27, the Word of God says, Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice, an offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more? Verse 30, Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Far be it from me. The title of today's message, Promises That Are Broken. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for calling us into your presence right now. Before your awful throne, Jehovah, we stand. We want to be vulnerable and transparent. Deal with us with compassion, but deal with us directly. We don't want to hide. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we left off with a calling on Samuel's life. Samuel was just a young boy, and God was calling him at a very tender age. Samuel was going to be called to be a part of God's team, to be employed in his service. But there's just some matter of business that God has to deal with. You see, because the current priest at the time, the current high priest at the time, Eli, who God had granted this incredible privilege to his ancestors and promised it to Eli's descendants, now there has been a broken agreement, a broken covenant, a broken promise. You see, the Levites had promised that they would serve the Lord and they would live a holy, upstanding life, but now they're in this predicament where for some reason, familiarity with God has caused them to be just a bit lax in the way they operate. In fact, the Bible tells us some stuff that's really quite alarming in chapter 2. In fact, I almost want to blush. In verse 12 of chapter 2, it says that Eli's sons were wicked men and they had no regard for the Lord. They were wicked men. They were their father's sons. They were priests in the temple. They were to carry on the priestly responsibilities, but they had gotten to a point where they had no regard for God any longer. And they were wicked. What are some of their wicked practices? Well, you know, the people would sacrifice the animals to God, and There was certain choice parts of the animal that were given to those in need. So even during this time, you know that they had their PB&J ministry. You know that, right? For those who don't know about that, we still make sandwiches that we pass out to those in need. You know that, right? We now meet at 5 p.m. on Wednesday. We go from 5 to 7. We make those lunches. So those excuses we used to hear about, it's too late at night, you guys stay too late, we don't have those excuses any longer. From 5 to 7, 5 to 7, we meet in the kitchen and we make lunches. And then we have our Bible study, our prayer meeting led by Lillian and Brother Willis, called the filling station. So they had their PB&J ministry where they would feed the homeless. But what happened is that the priests would go in and they would choose the best parts. They did what was not required of them to do. Now, of course, God did expect the priest and the musicians, the leaders of the temple, to be paid through the tithe. You know that. That's the reason why we as a denomination, you know, our ministers are paid not through the offering, but they're paid through the tithe. That's the way it was in the Bible. The practice was that those who brought their tithes, their food, their animals, that the priest would be fed, they would be clothed, and so would the musicians in the church. They were provided for. But it got to a point that they would take what was deserving for them, and they would also take what was not theirs. And God considered it wicked. You're selfish, you're blind, all you care about are your needs. And so the Bible continues on that it went even beyond that. Not only would they take the choice food, the choice meat, it says in verse 17 that this sin that we might consider to be a bit minuscule, this sin of the young men, the Bible says, was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with what? Contempt. Wow. I wonder if we ever treat the Lord's offering with contempt. I wonder if we ever treat what has been designated for God's temple, God's church, God's ministry, I wonder if we ever treat it with contempt. I wonder when we decide to buy those new pumps that we do not need. When we decide to upgrade our DirecTV plan and our Comcast plan, our AT&T plan, to include just a few more movie channels, I wonder if some of the money that is used in those areas is money that was designated for a holier purpose. See, I love when we read the Bible, we like to say, oh, the Bible's talking about Eli's sons. It ain't talking about us. I wonder if we have used God's tithe, his money, for purposes and uses that are not designated by him. Have we done that? In fact, the Bible says that their sin was great in his sight. It's interesting that the things that we consider a big deal, you know, that matter to us, is usually the stuff that the world considers a big deal. We have learned to adopt the value system of the world. So when the world says, oh, I can't believe she did that. Did you see that show? Oh, I can't believe what she did. And that's what we consider to be a bad thing. Whatever the world puts before us and says is a despicable, that is unbecoming, those are the things that we say, I would never do something like that. I would never do what was displayed in that movie. But when it comes to scripture, the things that God says are detestable in his sight, well, God, that's a generational thing. That's a cultural thing. I understand that you might have had problem back in the day with that kind of stuff, but come on, Lord, you don't see it as a big deal now. Neither did the priest. You see, there comes a point in our time where we become so familiar with God, so well acquainted with him, that we begin to take his holiness for granted. We begin to take the things that he tells us and calls us to do for granted. We begin to think that God is simply giving us suggestions but not commands. And so now it's all about wishful thinking. Well, God, I know that, you know, in the best of circumstances, I'm sure you would want me to do this, but you know that I'm human and you're still working on me, so you couldn't possibly expect me to fulfill those requirements. In fact, Lord, you're talking about the priest. You're not talking about me. I've never been the line of that priesthood. That is all about the Levites. That's OT stuff. But Paul calls us to be a priesthood of believers. Amen. He calls for the men in their homes to be a priest. And that's something that God places the same lofty expectations upon us as believers. In fact, we are called to follow the ultimate high priest, as Hebrews calls it. The big one, the main show, Jesus Christ himself, the high priest of all men. We have been called to follow in his footsteps. We have been called to follow in the high priest's footsteps. So let's continue on. What's some of the stuff that was going on? The Bible actually goes on to say that while these men were messing around with the offering and messing around with the tithe, that Eli has a problem with his boys. He actually finally decides to speak up. He actually has something to say to him. He actually says, man, you have been embarrassing me. Turn to verse 23. Actually, let's start with verse 22. It says, Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they did what? Slept with women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Are you kidding me? This is what the priests were doing in the temple? And Eli, he's blown away by this. He says, I can't believe this. So he said to them, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not good. It is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. How can you do this? Verse 25, if a man sins against another man, God may mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? So there's something about the familiarity. I actually like to believe that what has happened in our churches is that we've gotten to a point, family, where we just feel entitled. We actually feel entitled to sin. We've gotten in so good with God now. We know him so well that it's like, you know what, Lord? I've been so faithful to you for such a long time that, come on, you know, I'm really not that bad. I'm not as bad as my neighbor. I'm definitely not as bad as my brother. I'm not as bad as my sister. And I'm surely not bad as that elder in the church. I would never be that hypocritical. So, you know, Lord, I can understand that you're going to let me slide on this one, right? Your grace is sufficient, right? I remember thinking that as a minister, I used to say, Lord, I've traveled the world for you. Lord, I am doing so much for you. Surely you would turn away from this one little sin that I'm committing. Surely that when you compare this sin to the multitude of people that I've been ministering to, when you compare the good deeds, Lord, surely this one indiscretion isn't that big of a deal. I would actually sometimes feel entitled, like, you know, there's just some things I think I should be able to get away with. And isn't that something when you find that in Scripture? The closest people to God, for some reason, feel entitled to sin. How about Lucifer? Can you get closer to God than Lucifer? He was a covering cherub. He actually bore the glory of God. He was the light bearer. He was in the very throne room of God. He was there on the side of the throne. Lucifer. He was perfect in beauty, Ezekiel 28 tells us. Perfect in wisdom. There was nothing like him. But he gets to the point where he says, you know what? I'm so tight with God that maybe I can do whatever I want to do. You know what? I know the boss. I'm in with the teacher like that. I know the principal. Me and the pastor, we're tight. He ain't gonna do it. I know the judge. In fact, the judge is married to my wife's sister. Cop pulls you over. But you know what? My cousin works in the force. I know somebody. You should let me off. Don't we feel like that? Remember how wonderful David was when he was playing his harp? And shepherding. Remember all those wonderful heritage singer songs he would sing as he would slay lions and bears and get his iPod on? You remember how thoughtful he was? How much faith he had? Do you remember that? That David who couldn't even stop after wife number one or number two or number three or number 4, or number 5, or number 6, or 7, or 8. In fact, I lost count how many wives and concubines he had. And even after having all the women in Israel, there was still just one more he didn't have. I want you. You're married? I can handle that. Where do we get to this point where we feel this entitlement to sin? Where we no longer are in awe of God. We're no longer impressed by his holiness, that God is set apart and the things he calls us to do should be set apart. Where do we get to this point when the Sabbath is now trivial to us? We can do whatever we want on the Sabbath. It doesn't matter what God said. It doesn't matter. None of us want to search the Word and find out, how do we keep the Sabbath? How do we keep it holy? We don't care. We're going to do whatever we want to do because it really doesn't matter what God says. It's, you know what? He said he made it for me anyways. But here we are. We are Eli's sons. We are. We are Eli's sons. We just don't care. And part of the problem is because when we started sinning and we started doing the wrong thing, there were no police to take us away. There was no red siren that went off in our room. In fact, it almost felt like we got away with it. I just lied and I didn't get caught. Oh, wow. You know, I just ran that red light and no one pulled me over. I'm going to keep doing this. You know, I know I'm not married to him, but you know what? It's like my mom didn't find out about it, and neither did Dad, and neither did my husband. And God didn't even say anything about it. Wow! You know, I used to think that sin was like so bad. But that's the Old Testament stuff when people got stoned for sinning, right? I mean, come on! Turn with me to Psalms chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50. Listen to what God has to say through the psalmist. Psalms chapter 50. God is speaking through the writings of David. And listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. Let's start with verse 16. It says, "But to the wicked." I'll wait till you get there. Verse 16. Starting with verse 16, Psalms 50. Psalms 50, verse 16. It says, "But to the wicked," God says, "what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips?" Basically, what right do you have to make promises that you're definitely not going to keep? He says, what right do you have to do these things? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. When you throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. And because of that, you thought I was altogether like you. Because I didn't say anything about it, you thought I was just like you. You didn't think I cared. You don't care. You didn't think I cared. I didn't do anything about it immediately, so you never wanted to do anything about it. You think I was in agreement. I hear people say all the time, you know, I'm so close to the Lord. How do you know you're close to the Lord? Because I can feel it. I feel him in my heart. I feel him. You do? You feel? I do. I feel him. How do you know you're close to the Lord? Family, I'll tell you how you know you're close to the Lord. You'll know you how close you are to the Lord by the fruit that you bear.
Come on, now.
That's just what the Bible says. I'm not even making that kind of stuff up. That's what the Word says. He says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you.
Come on.
And you will bear fruit. But if you are not remaining in Christ and you do not bear fruit, what happens? You're cut off. When you live a fruitless life, that is an indicator of how close you are to God, not how you feel.
Come on.
Because that's cute stuff. That's the teddy bear Jesus I like to talk about from time to time. Teddy bear Jesus is awesome. He's cuddly. He has the sewn-on eyes and nose and that long hair. And, you know, when you go to sleep at night, you can rest your head on his little squishy self and say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me no matter what. Teddy bear Jesus is awesome. And when you do anything wrong, guess what? The sewn-on smile is still there. It doesn't change at all. Wow. Wow. Dude, I can be on Bathsheba.com and Jesus, teddy bear Jesus, doesn't even say a word about it. He accepts me just the way I am. You're the man, teddy bear Jesus. But oh, I wish that teddy bear Jesus was kind of like, remember Teddy Ruxpin? Was that right? Teddy bear Ruxpin? Y'all remember that? The little scary teddy bear that you could put a cassette in and it would actually talk? I never liked teddy bear Ruxpin, but I wish sometimes our teddy bear Jesus would speak up sometimes in our rooms.
Come on.
Start talking to us.
Preach.
Be like Balaam's donkey. Start speaking to us. Talking about how we're going down the wrong path. I don't think we like teddy bear Jesus too much. We'd probably start hitting him like Balaam was hitting his donkey. And he'd start talking back to us. Why are you hitting me? Stop talking! Well, I'm trying to get you down the wrong path. Just stop it. Just leave me alone. Why do you keep harassing me? Why do you keep giving me your word? You see, that's what I loved about Pastor Thomas's message last week, where you talk about hearing the voice of God. You see, Samuel wasn't opposed to it. He wanted it. He said, Lord, here I am. I'm your servant. You speak. I listen. You command. I follow. We don't have a generation like that anymore. No. In fact, you came here today, you were hoping for a good message, give you hope to get through the week.
Preach, Pastor.
Tell me how much Jesus loves us, Pastor. We're going through a tough time right now, and every time you preach, you just encourage me.
Preach,
but there used to be a time when the prophets would speak, they would hit you right between the eye with stuff.
Amen. Come on.
So God wasn't doing anything about Eli's sons, and Eli wasn't doing anything about his sons. Eli just didn't want to, well, you know, they are my sons, and I really shouldn't say anything, and, you know, boys, you should stop doing that. Stop it. Knock it off. You shouldn't be doing that. You're sleeping with the ushers and the greeters at the church door. What is wrong with you? You shouldn't be acting that way. Shame on you. This is the high priest. At this time, the high priest was like the top position in all of Israel. At this time, the high priest was like the king. Amen. And here he was. Boys, I'm going to give you a timeout. We treat sin so casually.
Preach, Pastor. Preach.
And because we treat it casually, everyone else treats it casually.
Come on now, speak on it.
So let's all come to the hospital. Oh, we're all sick today. Oh, yeah. What's your problem? It's the same problem I've had for the last 3 years, but I love this hospital. It never does anything for me.
Ooh, preach, Pastor. Come on now. Speak on it.
But I like being here because they don't make you feel guilty about being sick. That's what I like.
Ooh, come on now.
So I just, excuse me. Yeah, I'm just really glad being here because, you know, I can smoke until my lungs collapse.
Come on now.
And they won't say anything about it. I can eat all unhealthy, and I have diabetes now, and I'm a mess. But, I like going to a church where you're never judged.
Come on.
Sorry. I got something on your shirt.
Preach, Pastor. Go ahead.
Yes, it's a hospital.
Come on.
But any hospital that does not treat its patients would be put out of business.
Yeah. Preach, Pastor.
So we call it out. Man, we've been having a good time. You guys don't probably know some of the stuff that's been going on within our leadership. But recently, our leadership has been going through some turbulent times. And one thing that I've loved about it is that we've been communicating. our elders. We communicate, we send emails, we'll CC other elders, we'll let everybody in on it. Like this is the kind of dialogue that's going on. We're holding one another accountable. People are saying, Pastor, you shouldn't have done things this way. This is how you should have done it. And we could say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, I made a mistake there. And then we can go to one another, hey, listen, you shouldn't have done things that way. We're growing, we're learning, we're becoming more and more like Christ, and isn't it fun? But if we try to treat it like Eli, well, you know, I don't think that they should do that, but I'm not going to say anything.
Okay, now.
So listen to what God says. Listen to what God says. Remember, David actually says, to you alone, Lord, have I sinned. To you alone, Lord, have I sinned. Remember what the prophet says we read earlier? Eli says, it's one thing to sin against man. Maybe you'll have a mediator in God, but it's another thing to sin against him. David even said it himself, to you alone, Lord, have I sinned. And so here the prophet is saying, the prophet is speaking on behalf of the Lord, and he's saying in verse 30, therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. I don't know if I like this picture of God. This is kind of a meanie, isn't he? You're not going to honor me? I will not honor you. No. See, Pastor, that's Old Testament. You got to go to the New Testament. New Testament is, God is so much easier. Really? If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out.
Amen.
Excuse me, do what, Jesus? If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If you cause your brother to sin, it would be better if a big old boulder were tied to your neck and you were thrown into the ocean. Jesus. What happened to the teddy bear part? You have heard in the past, thou shalt not commit adultery. I tell you this, if you even look at a woman and lust after her, you look at a man and lust after him, you have committed it in your heart. Jesus, but I'm your child. If you hate your brother, you've murdered him.
Amen.
I'm going back to the Old Testament. I'm not taking this NT stuff. Which one do you want to hang in? You want to hang in Old Testament? Which one do you guys want? Which one?
Come on now.
We can go either one, right? Either one, we get caught.
Yes, amen. Preach, Pastor.
I cannot stand those blasted cameras on the stoplights. Traffic, I can't stand them. They caught me the other day doing a rolling stop. And then they send me the picture of my rolling stop. And I'm like, oh, please, how do you know that my car's not stopped? Look, it looks stopped in this picture. I said, I am going to go to the judge and I'm going to prove based on the evidence that I came to a complete stop. And then right under the picture says, if you want to see the video, go to this website. So I go to the website, and I'm telling you, I reviewed the video, and every time I watched it, I just wanted to see my car come to a complete stop. And I would show Iris, I'm like, baby, did it stop right there? For that moment, let me pause. See, it stopped. That's because you paused it. Oh, come on. But what if we had that every single day in our life? We had video on us, and when we sinned, a video was sent to us. It was emailed to us. There was pictures, and it said, we caught you. That was God. He sent, oh no, I got another email. Come on. Were you really watching? I was in the restroom. Are you serious? You heard what I said about it? Are you kidding me? But I was driving, I had the music up. It was just my thoughts. Are you kidding me? God just texts me again. Okay. What is this? But it's those cameras. It's those blasted cameras. In fact, I was picking my brother up from the airport yesterday, and I was doing something. I was putting my phone away, and I looked up, and the traffic light was yellow. I was in a bit of a quandary. Do I floor it? because I don't know exactly when it turned yellow. See, yellow for me doesn't mean slow down. Yellow for me means go as fast as you can. You can beat it. You can do it. But then I saw a camera. And you want to know how much integrity your pastor has? I decided in a split second, my character just shined through in a split second, I floored it! And before I hit the intersection, the light turned red. And I'm like, please don't have it on video, please! And so the very next day, maybe later on that day, I was in a similar situation. And when that light turned yellow, I almost slammed on my brakes. I'm afraid of the video. I'm afraid of getting caught. And just because we don't get caught, we think for some reason we're not guilty.
Come on now. Preach, Pastor.
Let me tell you something. Every sin is caught on tape.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
It's reviewed. It's rewound.
Come on.
Angels get to review it.
Yes.
Ooh, did you? Why did
Preach, I? Pastor.
Have you seen the other camera angle? I have. This doesn't look good. So in these situations, God is in a bit of a predicament. What does he do? He made a promise. He made a covenant. But then he's dealing with us who break promises and break covenants.
Amen.
Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel 33. God says, if I promise a righteous man life, and he believes that his righteous deeds are enough, and he begins to sin and do evil in my sight, I will remember his righteousness no more.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
I will take back the promise I had given him. And instead of life, he will receive death.
Amen. Preach, Pastor.
That's Bible.
Amen.
Now, conversely, he says, if I promise or prophesy to a wicked person death, because of their deeds, and they repent of their sins. They change their wicked ways.
Amen.
And return to me.
Amen.
I will remember their sins no more.
Hallelujah.
And I will give them life.
Amen.
But see, the one key word in all of this is if. If. We were studying that in the filling station, right? If we confess our sins, then if we confess our sins, then he'll do what?
Forgive us.
See, confession is an important part. Confession says this, and I'll end on this. Confession simply says, God, my way was the wrong way, your way is the right way.
Amen.
Repenting is turning away from the wicked way and following the righteous way. Because you see, if you take a person who's unrepentant and you give them life, you give them eternal life, you give them their mansion on the new earth, and you give that to them, that means that they're going to take with them the wickedness, the sinfulness. You see, in order for the new earth to be perfect, in order for eternal life to be blissfully happy for the rest of eternity, God is going to take like-minded people. Do you understand that? There's no point in taking different parties there that believe philosophically different on every issue, because we already see the result of that.
Amen.
We already live in a world that sees it one way here, one way there, and then we all try to mix together, and there's mass confusion. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Amen.
So in the end, God has a simple decision to make. Do you like my laws? Do you agree with my commands? Does it work for you? Is it the life-giving water that I promised? Does it quench your thirst? Are you satisfied? And there'll be those that say, yes, absolutely yes. Great, this kingdom is for you. And if they say a resounding no, we didn't like you here, we for sure wouldn't like you there. Because at least here, we get to do our own thing, but there, we'd be forced to do your thing. So God says, I love you too much to take you here.
Come on now.
I love you too much to force you.
Amen.
Let's just call it a day.
Amen.
I'm going to lay you down to sleep.
Praise God.
And you get to sleep forever.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
The wicked are cool with this because they for sure don't want to live on the world by themselves.
Amen.
You imagine a planet with no peace, no joy, no happiness. Nobody's good. Your lungs collapse from smoking too much, but you don't die from it. Your liver collapses, explodes because of all the alcohol, but you don't die from it. Someone's trying to beat you up because they want your car and they keep beating you. You can't even die from your injuries and no cop is there to stop them. Can you imagine living on a planet with no laws at all? That would be hell. So God in his love, you don't want to live without me. You don't want to live with me. Can we find a happy medium? And what do the wicked cry out for? They cry out for death.
Amen.
May the rocks crush us. Please put us out of our misery. So God is in this situation. He's saying, I need like-minded people.
Amen.
People that understand. So let me paint this picture. Let me paint this picture. There could be a person that has ran the race and there's the finish line. They see it. They're about to cross over the finish line. But right before they cross over the finish line, they stop and say, man, look, I've done enough good. I ran hard for a really long time. You know, I'm going to stay put here. I'm done. God's grace should like make up for the rest of it, right? Besides, I didn't really want to do it anyways. I just had to do it because I didn't want to die in the end, right? And then you have this person. You have this person who's all the way over here who just began the race. They've been struggling all their life, and someone just introduced them to Jesus, and they just started to make that move, and it was hard. But they want to get all the way there. They've been wicked all their life and rebellious, but just... there's a glimmer of hope of a new life, a new plan, but they're all the way over here. But Mr. Righteous is all the way over here saying, I'm so much better than you.
Come on.
Surely God would save me. Surely, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I casted out demons in your name. I performed many miracles in your name.
Come on.
Jesus says, I don't know you. You thought your righteousness was enough.
Preach,
and you stopped.
Amen.
Where this man over here, this woman over here, she was just starting. My grace is sufficient for
Hallelujah.
This one. I'll remember their wickedness no longer. Thief on the cross, come on down.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
They have the right heart. They have the right attitude. So even though I prophesy death, I take it back.
Hallelujah.
Nineveh, you shall live. Sinner, you shall live. David, you're forgiven. Solomon, you're forgiven. Wow. Wow. So family, you might be over here. And you think you've already arrived.
Come on now, preach that.
And Jesus says in John 15, the ones that aren't bearing fruit, I prune them that they might bear fruit.
Come on.
The ones who are bearing fruit, I still prune.
Amen.
That they might bear
more fruit. Hallelujah.
We get pruned no matter where we are. We're getting pruned. God is picking at us. Abraham, I know where you are, but Abraham, you still have a ways to go. But I'm better than the thief on the cross. I know, but you're still going to get here on the same ticket. My grace. Now let me prune you. Stand still. But I like that. Let me pick it off. But let me work with you. But I only have a ways to, I know. Let's finish this race together. Do you want to be their family? Are you ready to accept the responsibilities of being a part of that priesthood? I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to hear God have to tell me that he has to cancel the promise.
Amen.
That he has to look me in the eye and say, John, I never knew you, man. And you for sure didn't know me. If you want to be a part of that priesthood.
Hallelujah.
You're ready to acknowledge the cameras that are around you at every traffic. Intersection. You're ready to acknowledge that God is looking, even though he hasn't said anything to you specifically, he's talking to you now. And you say, Lord, I want to get rid of this sin in my life. I know what you did at Calvary. I know the justification part, but I know what you're doing in me right now. You're sanctifying me.
Hallelujah.
So Lord, I want to see sin the way you see it. Have your way with me. If you want to say that, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Oh boy. Yes, 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 yes. Lord, I want to see it the way you see it. Create in me a new heart and a new mind. Purify me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you see your children standing. They're doing something that Eli's sons were not willing to do. Because even after hearing the prophecy of gloom and doom, they still had a chance to repent, and they did not. But may we be like Nineveh, that even though we heard the prophecy of gloom and doom, may we repent right now, here on the spot, Father. We want to call those sins out by their rightful name. We want them rid from our lives. We're in your hospital for a reason. We want healing. We want restoration. We want forgiveness. Father, we want to accept your laws. We know that you're not like us, but we want to be like you. So, Father, right now, we invite you into our hearts. There might be someone here under the sound of my voice that has never made a decision for Christ. You have never made a decision for Christ. And if you want to right now, you want to be baptized, you want to believe, you want to follow in his footsteps, please come down to the altar right now. Just come down to the altar right now. Come to the Lord right now. Come on back. You've had a prophecy against you, and now you're saying, I don't want that. You've backslidden. You used to be faithful and committed, but now you realize you've been too far from the ideal, and you want to come forward. We give you this time right now to come forward. Father, we thank you for in that prophecy that you declared that you would call somebody who is faithful to fulfill that office of priest. Father, we know that you called Samuel to do that. Call us now. There's someone else. There's someone else who needs to come forward. There's someone else that wants to give their all to Jesus. There's someone else that wants to be fully restored. If you hear his voice and you hear him knocking, please come forward. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Completely surrendered. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we ask all these things in the saving name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let the church say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated.